goal for tonight was to get some quality time together, to get to eat, hang out, just some family time. And then also, it just felt like it's been a while since we've had a chance to update on some things that are going on, to pray together. And so that's kind of what we'll do with the rest of our time, is just give you guys some updates. We've got new life groups that we're launching. And so we'll celebrate that and pray for those folks, those leaders, and those sorts of things. And so when you sat down, you should have seen a piece of paper that was there on your seat. That's got some details, information, so take that with you. That's kind of financial updates, leaders and training, groups, all that kind of stuff. So if you love knowing numbers and data and information, that's for you. There's a fall calendar on there with significant dates. You may want to go ahead and mark your calendar. What I would like to do is talk to you a little bit about what's on that, the first top part, the church planting, Midtown Fellowship, family of churches sort of deal. So I want to do a little bit of explaining on that, because I don't know that as members we've had a chance to get in the same room and just sort of hash out what we mean when we're talking about being a family of churches and how we here downtown are connected to Two Notch, Midtown Two Notch. And so I wanted to do that with you. I'd love, before we just start talking details though, let me ground it in the Bible. So grab your Bible and go Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Extra Jesus points if you brought your Bible. Acts chapter 1, and we'll just read the first 11 verses or so here. So this is Luke writing. This is the second book that Luke wrote after the book of Luke, which we're studying right now, and it's actually written to the same guy. So Luke is still trying to help his dude Theophilus out, and so he writes about the account of Jesus' life in the book of Luke, and then the book of Acts is how the church got started in light of Jesus' life. And so Acts chapter 1, verse 1, in the first book, that'd be the book of Luke, Luke says, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until when he was taken up, and after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So Luke is still all about the evidence, and he points back to the eyewitness accounts of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He keeps bringing Theophilus back to that. Jesus rose from the dead. People saw him. It happened. Verse 4, and while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's very similar to the passage that we actually just studied this past Sunday, where John the Baptist promises that Jesus is going to come and fill people with the Holy Spirit to empower them for God's mission. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the end of it, Jesus? Are you going to fully and finally get rid of sin now and restore God's kingdom fully, completely to earth? Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that my Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Never in the history of the world had a more important assignment been given to a less qualified group of people. So Jesus is there. It's a raggedy group. I mean, it's ex-fishermen, ex-tax collectors. It's dwindled down in light of his death. There's not a big crowd there. And he speaks to his most committed, most devoted followers, and he says, I'm about to leave. It's on you guys now. Get the message out to the whole world. And he just starts floating up in front of their eyes. So you just kind of imagine them going, wait. What? It's what? You're giving that to us? The whole world? Do you know how big the whole world is? And he's like, yeah, I'm way high up now. I can see the whole thing. Yes, I can, in fact. And yes, I'm entrusting you. You do it. You guys get the message out. I'm out. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. I'm equipping you and empowering you, the whole world. That's your job now. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, and I like to imagine with a little bit of terror, just like, oh no, what just happened? behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven, promising Jesus's one day return where he would, in fact, end sin fully and finally all of its effects. So this is the start of the church. This is a group that's built around the conviction that Jesus has risen from the dead, filled with the Holy Spirit, and given the responsibility, get the message out, the whole world, go. It's on you guys. Jesus says, I'm out. See you when I come back. So church initially started as a group of people that were united around a shared experience of salvation and a shared mission to get the gospel out. It was a cause. It was people who came together with a common cause and a common shared experience. Over the years, something terrible happened. I actually learned this week. I thought it was really cool, so I wanted to share it with you guys. The word in the Bible for church is a Greek term. It's ekklesia. But when the Bible was getting translated, the word that people used to translate ekklesia, it wasn't that. They used a German word to put church in the Bible, to put the word church in the Bible. A German word, and I don't speak German, but it's something like Kirche or something like that. Ekklesia, the word that's in there, the Greek term, means a gathering of God's called out ones. It means a community called out by God around a common cause. The word that they began to use in German, Kirche, or however you're supposed to say it, means a sacred gathering building, a place where people would gather for special religious services and goods. So because of this, when people were being taught what church was, they began to think instead of it being ecclesia, God's called out ones around a shared cause, it was a place you go to receive religious goods and services. And then, of course, what happened was you had people, sometimes power-hungry leaders kind of rose to prominence, and they liked it. And so they used this idea of the institutionalized church to sort of gain power and use it for their own purposes. So it was all during the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, people completely forgot and lost that church is a group that's gathered together because of a shared experience of God's salvation and a shared cause to get the message out to everybody. And instead, you just went to church where you received religious goods and services, and the powerful people that be loved that because it kept them in charge, it kept them in control, and they could kind of control people. Well, that was until a group that God raised up called the Reformers. A primary one was named William Tyndale. At this point, there wasn't a Bible that was translated into common English. And William Tyndale thought, okay, if God's people are supposed to be united around a common cause, they've got to have the Word of God in their hands so they know what the cause is. So he went back and he started making it his life devotion to create a common English translation of the Bible so that people could have the Word of God in their hands. When he got to the word ecclesia that had been translated church, instead of putting church, he put congregation. Because he wanted to communicate to people, it's not an institutionalized thing. It's a group of people about a shared mission together. Well, the leaders at the time were infuriated by this because he was actually undercutting their authority and their power. So William Tyndale got tried as a heretic. There's one story that when the church leaders at the time were so mad, he was having this standoff with them, and somebody reported that he looked one of them in the eyes and said to him, if God spares my life long enough, I will cause a boy that drives a plow to know more of the scriptures than you do. Said it right to a church leader. I read that and I was like, I am a coward. Oh my gosh, I would never say that, ever. So he said, my whole life mission, William Tyndale, my whole life mission is I want common people to have the Word of God in a language they can understand so that they realize that the church is the called out sent ones of God around a shared cause. The church is a cause. Tried as a heretic, they strangled him and then burned him to make sure he was double dead. As he was being burned, it's reported, his last words that anybody could hear at least were, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. It's the last thing he said. Sure enough, within a few years, the King James Bible got translated because the King of England's eyes were open. And so if you've ever read a King James Version Bible, that's because God granted William Tyndale an answer of yes to his last prayer. And because people had the Bible in their language, at this point in church history, church planting and mission just explode. People are going all over the place to plant churches. Mission work is happening. People start getting sent out and going because people recaptured the vision that as a church, we're united around a cause. That it's not an institution where I receive goods and services and I like it how it is, so nothing needs to change. Instead, it's a cause that I'm a part of, and I'm celebrating when things change. That was the whole point of being a part of a cause in the first place. The whole point for a cause is we want to change things. And that's what Jesus left us to do. He said, as he floats up to heaven, says, it's on you guys. I'm filling you with my Holy Spirit. Get out there, get after it, get it to the ends of the earth. And so the struggle in every generation since then has been to make sure, are we a cause? Are we united around a cause? Or are we becoming more of a place where we go, where we receive religious goods and services, and we like things as they are, so let's let nothing change? Now, by God's grace, I have no concern at all for us right now. I feel like as a church, we're really healthy on this. I think you guys have a great mission mindset. It's very fun to talk about mission with you guys because I don't feel like there needs to be any sort of rebuke whatsoever. We're very, very mission-minded. And one of the things that I think even proves it is, if you remember, not this past year, but the year before, we were doing a give series, and we talked about wanting to plant a church at the time, we called it the Allen Benedict area of downtown Columbia. We didn't know exactly how we were going to term it. We just said we had a team of people. They want to plant a church there. They want to live there. They want to do ministry there. And they're praying that God would actually save people and it would become a church in that area. I want to say we raised like $60,000 or something like that to be able to send their way with Aunt Frederick. We ordained him and prayed over him and sent them out. And honestly, after we did that, we didn't give you guys a lot of updates for a long time. Some of that is because things just went really slowly in getting it going. A primary reason for that was Aunt and Hannah, almost immediately after that, had twin boys. And so that slowed their lives down considerably. One of them actually needs ongoing medical extra attention. And so they've just had to kind of take their time with it. And so it's been almost 2 years now, or I guess more like a year and 8 months or so, since we sent them out and since we got them started. They are meeting every Sunday. They've got, I want to say, 8 life groups. It's on your sheet, so you can check into that. They've got 8 life groups. They're meeting together every Sunday over in a building that literally has bullet holes. I'm not exaggerating. The building that they meet in has bullet holes. There's been 2 murders in the area in the past 3 weeks. They really picked probably the hardest and roughest place in all of Columbia, South Carolina, and said, we want to bring the gospel here. They get together. They do some form of Bible time. Right now, they're going through the book of Luke with us. We're actually synced up, and they're doing the Luke campaign alongside of us, and they're giving out the Luke books with us. And so everybody in their groups are going through Luke. Sometimes they sing. Sometimes they don't. And then my favorite part of what they're doing is afterwards, every Sunday, they all go outside and they just start grilling out and doing a big neighborhood cookout. They walk around, invite anybody in the neighborhood to come. They've got kids from the area running around doing all kinds of stuff. So it's really starting to build and starting to get some traction. It's very raggedy. It is so wonderfully, beautifully raggedy. I was over there maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it reminded me so much of what it was like when we were first getting going. I mean, it's just a mess. And God's doing stuff, you know? I mean, it's just my favorite. And basically what they do every Sunday is a big block party like we used to do back in the day, except they actually know all the people that are coming and they're starting to see families. One mom came 1 week, and then she came back and she brought some kids the next week, and then she brought her husband the next week. And so there's just some things like that that are starting to go on. And part of what I wanted to do is just explain to you guys how we're trying to be organized around that and be most helpful to them. And so I've actually got a slide. We'll do the citywide versus local church slide. Yeah, perfect. So here's how we're trying to think about it. We've been looking into something that's called a parish model. So if you've got any familiarity with a parish church, then you may have heard of this. We didn't come up with what we're doing. All of our best ideas, we steal. I don't know if you guys know that. If it was a good idea, we totally stole it. And that's this one. We're kind of hijacking something called a parish city model. So what we're doing is we're trying to think about it like, all right, we're all Midtown Fellowship. Okay, so we're all Midtown Fellowship. We're one church. But is there a way that we can get the best of being a larger church with the resources that we have, as well as localized ministry that's in context for the area with the people that they're trying to reach, so that people aren't driving a long way to be a part of a church, but they actually get to be the church where they are? And especially for the folks in Midtown, Two Notch, the area, there's a lack of resources there, just flat out. And so what we've tried to do is figure out, How can we sync up, be the same church, but also be separate expressions of church and be able to use the same website, be able to use the same Kid Town materials, be able to, for them to take advantage of how we've laid out the book of Luke, and we're going to work through it, and we're making those books for them, and they get to distribute them over there. Take advantage of the same HR and business stuff and video and graphics and all of that, while at the same time, they get to be their own distinct and separate church and be in context there, change things as they need to change so they can be about the mission of God there. And so for the upcoming year, here's some of the things that we're doing that are going to be together, synced up. Like I said, we're going through the book of Luke together. In the fall, we're going to do a big baptism gathering that we'll call it citywide. So that's going to be the terminology that we'll use when it's the us, downtown folks, and Two Notch. When we get together, it's going to be citywide. So we've got a baptism gathering that's coming up. We're going to get to go to the Music Farm. I don't know if you guys have heard the Music Farm that's moving in over behind Tin Roof. They're supposed to be done this weekend. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but hopefully they'll definitely be done by November, because that's when we're doing our baptism gathering there. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Easter gathering will be citywide, so that'll be both churches coming together for Easter gathering. Student groups will be another area that we can take advantage of the resources that we have to have good quality leadership and good direction and all those kinds of things. And both churches get to take advantage of that. So we'll have one big student ministry, so to speak. So I'm excited about that. Financial, operations, HR, those kinds of things. Any of the day mission trips that we're doing, and I can't read the last one. And then recovery. So instead of trying to duplicate a recovery ministry, we'll just have recovery. And if anybody from any church wants to come, they can hop into recovery and we get to serve and bless and be kind of a centralized resource hub for both of those churches. So does that kind of make sense? What'll be separate will be things like Midtown class. So we'll let pastors from the churches do their own Midtown class, member meetings. So this is a downtown member meeting, whereas they'll have their own member meetings, and any sort of location specific stuff that they're wanting to do as far as trips and those kinds of things. So that's kind of how we're trying to think about it, is what's the best way to take advantage of being one big church, getting the resources there, but also take advantage of localized, small, a little bit more relational feeling ministry. So that's how we're approaching it with downtown and with Two Notch. The one bummer is we didn't have a good name, like a good sub name for us, because Midtown Downtown sounds kind of funny. I don't know if you've noticed that, because we're saying the same word twice. It means the same thing, you know? But we couldn't come up with anything better. We didn't want to say Divine Street because we're not necessarily going to be here, you know? So we just kind of got stuck. So if you have a better name, let us know. We'll probably do it. But for now, we're just going to go with downtown. So this is our downtown church, Midtown Downtown. Just don't ever say Midtown Downtown. Always avoid getting stuck in an awkward situation where you have to say Midtown Downtown. So you can say our downtown church. You can say Midtown that meets downtown. We're not helping you out. I know. Here's what I'm actually excited about. By doing this and by getting some of the infrastructure in place to be able to have centralized resources that serves two churches, it actually frees us up to be able to do more church planting in Columbia that allows us to remain one big family of churches. So we can continue to be about loving the greater city of Columbia and the Columbia area while staying one church. And then we get to kind of pull resources and share and get good centralized stuff as well as good localized stuff. So it's kind of our best effort to get the best of both worlds. And with that said, let me invite Clash and Bailey to come up. You guys come on up. Because, like, as you can see on your... Yeah, that's worth it. Well, I mean, like a slow clap. No, that's too much. Like a slow clap. It's fine. Yeah. So... So we've been praying and talking to these guys, and we're looking at doing something in Lexington. And I know that we have a good many folks that live somewhere across the river, and so we've been trying to strategize on, all right, the way that we've been thinking about Two Notch and downtown, is there a way to also be intentional in the Lexington area? And so that's something that we've been praying about with these guys, and as of now, the plan is we're going to do a little something in Lexington. So y'all tell people a little bit just about why and where you guys are at with it.
Yeah, so as Adam said, with the goal of being a family of Columbia churches, obviously we didn't want to go right down the street and kind of do a similar thing that's going to reach a similar group. And so we don't want to duplicate efforts like that. We want to actually spread out a little bit because we actually really believe that we have a lot of health in our church family. We're just consistently encouraged by you guys and what you're doing. And so we want to be able to spread out a little bit and spread some of the health that we do have and be able to reach a little bit of a different group of people that probably wouldn't as much, show up here on a Sunday. And so, in addition to just praying and seeking the Lord's direction on where, if we need to be a little further out, then, looking at the surrounding areas, surrounding communities, Lexington just kind of kept popping up on our radar. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. Lexington is actually one of the fastest growing areas of South Carolina right now, which is pretty fascinating considering it's right down the road. I think there's like the Three Forks area or the Something Forks area in Greenville that's kind of blowing up a little bit, and then Fort Mill, Rock Hill is blowing up, and then right after that is Lexington. People are just moving here in droves. The economy is getting better, which is fantastic for all of us, if I may. And so families and just folks from the area and also out of state are just moving because they find a spot that they can raise families well, get a little bit of land, get a house, that kind of thing, and people are just headed that direction. And so that's part of what was even kind of going through our minds when we were thinking through, all right, where would be an ideal spot for us to kind of move out next in the greater Columbia area? It's like, well, where are the people at? Lexington is where a lot of the people are at.
Yeah, and another thing that we're excited about is for years now, a lot of people that have kind of come to our downtown church have been young people and college students and people that grew up in areas pretty similar to the Lexington area. And, just seeing a lot of us kind of walk in here with just honestly a lot of mess, a lot of brokenness, a lot of, I kind of grew up in this culture, in this family where everybody pretended like we were kind of okay, but things were not okay. And I am really kind of reeling from the effects of that and, just need a lot of healing and restoration. And so we're really excited about getting to kind of go to the root of a lot of those things, which is the nuclear family and be in an area where there are just a ton of families and really apply the gospel to the family and just kind of aggressively go after that and, hopefully be able to break a lot of generational sin issues.
I know you guys have been trying to meet with some folks that are living out there and just get to know the culture a little bit, and were telling me some stuff the other day about what you're learning about what life is like in Lexington. Share a little bit of that.
You want to go first?
You got it.
No, you go first.
we've been talking about one thing, which is I think as downtown people, a lot of times think that, like, somewhere like Lexington is kind of like a different continent. And
right.
One of the things that we realized first is that people that live out there think that they're Columbia people. And so it's kind of like this weird thing where it's like, no, we're downtown people too. And it's kind of like, well, okay. So that's one of the things that we've learned, and that it's not super far away. So we've actually driven out there a couple times, driven around. And it's not actually that far away.
No, be honest, because Bailey just bought a house.
I did just buy a house.
Lexington.
Under contract.
You guys are looking.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 So it's not just y'all drove out there a couple
times. Right. Yeah. No, we didn't try to eat dinner out there a good bit, get to meet some folks, that kind of deal. As a matter of fact, just last week I was out to dinner with some friends of mine who live in the area. They actually grew up in the area, moved into downtown for a little while while they were in school before they got married, and then they moved back out afterwards. And we just got to hang out for a little while. And really, I was trying to ask them some questions. Like, okay, tell me about Lexington. Tell me, what are the people like here? What do they believe? What do they value? What are the biggest barriers to the gospel? Like, there are a lot of churches out here. Is there even a need for us to come out and do anything? That kind of deal. And it was really interesting to hear a lot of their responses, to be honest with you. In many ways, what they were kind of saying was, Lexington is kind of the prototypical southern town, if I may. Like, it's seeing a lot of growth right now, for sure. But those southern roots are just really deeply ingrained. And by southern roots, I mean like your typical southern Christian religiosity stuff that many of us even have come out of, where we go to church on Sundays because that's what we do, y'all. Like, that's just how it is. Like, we go to church and we try to be good enough, and hopefully, when we get when we die, God's going to say, well, you tried hard, so come on in, kind of a thing. And that's generally how everybody sort of sees life and sees things out there. And so one of the things they were even telling me is that if you live in Lexington, you go to church, period. Like, everyone out there generally has a church that they belong to, but so many of those people who are involved in churches have no idea what the real gospel actually is. Like, they have no concept of what Christ has truly accomplished for them and how that is a game changer for life and how that affects everything else. When it comes to community and when it comes to the church is like Adam was talking earlier. It's what you go to on Sundays. It's not a community that you belong to, and it's certainly not a community that you confess anything in. Like, transparency almost doesn't exist there for some reason. And so one of the things they were saying was, like, you can come hang out at our cookout. Like, we barbecue all the time. We have our friends over. Come out and just listen to some of the conversations. You'll see people are a mile wide and an inch deep. They're either talking about incredibly shallow things or they're gossiping about other people. And it kind of dawned on us that, man, what would really be great for the Lexington community is a group of people who are centered and rooted on the gospel of Jesus and who refuse to allow shallowness and vapid relationships exist, but really press down deep into what Christ has accomplished specifically for us, and actually live as a church family is intended to live, would really blow the roof off of some people's perspectives of Christianity and who God is and what he's done.
Yeah.
Vapid's a great word, Bailey. Good job.
Yeah. Sweet. SAT. Working on it. What? What?
Yeah, so a few of the other things that the couple mentioned were, you know, what you might expect, you know, a good bit of just image management kind of stuff, social posturing, and so definitely we'll have to be just really aggressive with confronting a lot of those things with the gospel and, you know, really going for transparency, you know, gospel-driven transparency. So,
And I know we're still a good ways out from you guys starting to move in that direction. What's timeline plan as at least what you've got now?
Yeah. The plan right now is we are shooting for August 2015, to be sort of the date that we start life groups in the Lexington area, to where we kind of split from our downtown life groups, multiply, see, when we multiply out to Lexington and really begin to do life groups out there. In the meantime, a lot of what Clash and I are doing is just meeting with folks who are interested in going, and so if you are actually interested in jumping in with us, we would love to get to know you, to talk to you, to hear your heart and what you're thinking. And so for the next year, we'll kind of be doing that, kind of getting the crew together, and then August 2015, we're looking at stepping out that way and starting to do life together as church family.
Yeah, and then we'll figure out kind of early gatherings and vision meetings from there. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'd love to do this. Can we pray for them? And then we'll pray for some other stuff throughout the night, but I'd love to just pray for them and as they're planning and mapping out and having people that they're kind of inviting to hop in and all those sorts of things. So let's pray for these guys. God, thank you, man, first and foremost, that we get to be about your cause on planet Earth. And God, that you give us your spirit and empower us and fill us to go to the ends of the earth with the good news that Jesus has died and has risen from the dead for our salvation. And for all the grace that you've shown us as a church, God, I pray that you would continually help us to want to spread and send and go and be cause-driven. Thank you for these men and for what you've done in their lives. God, for the call that you've put on their lives, I pray that you would continue to equip them and raise them up. God, I pray that you would help them to plan well and strategize, Lord, that you would be even now moving. God, for any of us that need to hop in, maybe if we already live over in Lexington or just sense a little bit of a burden to be there and join in with Bailey and with Clash, God, I pray that you would draw people in, that quickly you would plant seeds there and that gospel fruit would begin to grow and that we would see your kingdom advance. And I thank you for the privilege it is to get to be involved in what you're doing on planet Earth. And yeah, we love you. Amen.